season, we also thank you for allowing us to have those good days. Gracious God, we pray your anointing on this message. May we all hear all that you have for us to hear today, Lord Jesus. May we learn and grow and actually apply your word to our lives. Lord, we pray to be transformed and made new. In your precious name we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. Today is back to school Sunday. Back to school Sunday. That's right. Some of our young people have already started school, and some of them are going to begin this week. So we are going to be talking about going back to school. And I remember when I was a little girl, back to school was a great time. That first day of school, the night before the first day of school, I used to be so excited. Anybody with me, were you excited about going to school? Couldn't sleep, would be up all night talking to my sister Casey. We'd be up giggling and talking, thinking about what we was about to wear. You know, y'all know how it is. You keep looking at those crayons like they're going to disappear or something. But we used to be so excited about school, and it was just always something to look forward to. And so today we're going to be discussing what it is when we run into Jesus at school. Now, during the month of August, our lay pastors and myself, we've been doing a sermon series talking about what happens when we run into Jesus. Remember, I kicked us off and I said, when we run into Jesus, we become sold. Come on. Sold out. Thank you. Then Sandra talked to us about when we run into Jesus, sometimes we learn a lot about being ungrateful. Sylvia talked to you all last week about when we run into Jesus, we experience, anybody remember? A miracle. All right, somebody was here this summer. And today we're going to talk about what happens when we run into Jesus at school. And the point of all of these sermons, this sermon series, is for us to know that when we run into Jesus, when our lives encounter the living God, we should expect something to happen. We should expect to see something different in our lives. We should be different, changed, unique. We should stand out. We should be better. We should be amongst those that can lift their heads and say, I know a living God. And most of all, we should strive for excellence. Because you see, when you run into Jesus, you can't just keep doing things the same old way you used to do them. When you know a little about Jesus, you want excellence in action. The problem, saints, today is that many of us think that we only run into Jesus here at church. So while we're here in church, we're all experiencing God, and we feel something, we feel better. We think, you know, something has happened, I've had an experience. But the second we walk out of that door, many of us don't see Jesus again until next Sunday. But saints, I want us all to know, and some of us already do know, that in actuality, we run into Jesus all the time. We run into Jesus at the mall, in the park, at the playground, at the beach, at the grocery store. We run into Jesus everywhere we go. And young people, all of our students, guess what? You run into Jesus at school. Now, I know you're thinking, run into Jesus at school. I don't know about that. But you run into Jesus at school. And wherever you are, when you run into Jesus, something about you should change and be different. Now, saints, if I was to walk right outside of Glenville right now, and I just happened to come across President Barack Obama, I'd be like, hey, that's the president. I would run back in here and say, hey, y'all, I just met the president. Come on out and see what I just saw. Something about meeting Barack Obama, you would notice a change in me. You would notice something different in me. And it would be so different that you, in fact, would want to come out and see what I saw. And you would say, well, let me go out here and see what Pastor Kelly saw. She said President Barack Obama is out there. Let me go see, too. And the same manner, saints, when we run into Jesus, we should be able to run back in the building and say, guess what I saw? And it was so great and so good that the people around us would say, I want to see what they saw. I want to go out and go where they are. But every time we encounter Jesus, we should see something different about ourselves. Now, young people, I know it's hard for you to believe that you encounter Jesus at school. And it's even hard sometimes for many of our young people to actually act like they know Jesus when they're in school. You know, it's hard when you're in school, saints, for young people to go to school and actually say that they're a Christian or pray out loud or do anything that anyone would give them an idea that they're a Christian. You see, it's much easier to be in the popular crowd. Anybody in the popular crowd at school? Oh, come on now. Somebody in the popular crowd. Was anybody, all of us older ones that have graduated, were you in the popular crowd? All right. Thank you, Rufus. Any athletes out there? Any ones that wanted to be on the band? Any musicians? All right. Cheerleaders. Any cheerleaders out there? Anybody in the drama club? All right. Drill team. Thanks, thanks. How about those of us that just like to be with the smart kids? We knew we were smart. How about all of our class clowns? Any class clowns? All right. See? Oh, the choir. Oh, I forgot the choir. My bad. Any choirs? Okay. You see, it's so much easier to want to be popular, want to be athletic, want to be smart, than it is to want to be a Christian at school. You see, when we arrive at school and we're seeing all of our students, our fellow students, we can separate ourselves. We separate ourselves. We go from being the Christian to being just the cheerleader or just the athlete or just the smart person. And we forget about the importance of God in our lives. You know, young people, when you go to school, you're going to hear, or you may have already heard, you've heard of that. It's called the separation of church and state. Anybody hear of that? Okay. So this separation of church and state, many of us believe that's an actual law. Who thinks that? Anybody? Okay, well, you heard it, didn't you? All right. So the separation of church and state is not a law. It is not a law that we have to separate ourselves from God at any time in any place. You know that. But when we get to school or sometimes out of works or some other places, we separate ourselves. And no one at all can tell that we are a believer. Students, do you know you have the right to pray in school? Did you all know that? Give me a wave if you knew that. All right. Y'all didn't know it then. Students, did you know that you have the right to lead a Bible study in your school? Anybody know that? Okay, well, you all are learning it today. Students, do you know that you have the right to actually pray and read your Bible at school? Wow, y'all falling asleep on me back there. Especially when I said read the Bible in school. Oh my God. Who takes their Bible to school? Who would want to do that? It's not cool. It's not popular. It's not going to win you any points, guys, with the ladies. And ladies, you definitely don't want to be seen with your Bible in the hand when that cute guy is walking past sometimes. You know, students, when we run into Jesus at school, it requires all of us to make some huge choices, some big decisions. And you have to decide, am I going to be set apart? Am I going to strive for excellence? Am I going to live different for Christ? Or am I going to make choices that I know are wrong? What are you going to do? Are you going to decide to do the right things or the wrong things? You see, saints, from a very young age, we all know right from wrong. All of us do. It's even a poem that says, everything I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. We learned how to share. We learned how to be nice. We learned how not to take things that are not ours. We learned that other people are important. We learned to play fair, to get along. But some kind of way, as we're growing up, we forget those things. We just drop them off to the side like they're no longer important. But we knew from the very beginning what was right and what was wrong. So young people, you have a choice. Are you going to decide to live for Christ at school? Are you going to decide to live differently? You know, I said that we run into Jesus all the time. But what does that mean when I say that? Especially when I'm saying you run into Jesus at school. Well, let me tell you how. You see, when we say that Jesus is in us, that means everywhere we go, we carry Christ. Amen. So when I get to school or I get to work or when I get wherever I'm going, Jesus is right there with me. Then when I get to school or wherever I'm going, there's going to be some Christians there. So young people, when you're at school and you run into your teachers that are Christians, when you're running into the maintenance people that are Christians, when you're running into the lunch lady that are Christians, when your principal is a Christian, you are running into Christ. You know, I still remember a couple years ago, we went over to Glenville High School for See You at the Pole. Remember that? And we took a group of young people, and for those of you that don't know, See You at the Pole is a national event where the young people come around their school's flagpole and they pray. Now, I remember when the young people here, they went to Glenville High School, and we said, well, we're going to go. And some of our young people said, oh, no, Pastor Kelly, we really don't want to do that. We do not want to go to our school talking about praying at that flagpole. Did you all know where the flagpole was? But we walked in that school, they was putting their hands down and act like they didn't know me. Y'all didn't know I saw that, but so they did not want to go. And they kept saying, no one here is going to want to do this. Nobody, they're not even on that at Glenville. Remember saying that? Y'all remember saying that. But when we got to the school, when we got there, that we had our very first meeting, and the young people were surprised at how many other students were Christians in their school and came to the meeting. And then every meeting after that, we had more and more and more students. And by the time we got to our actual day of prayer, we had the largest circle around that prayer pole of all these young people that were Christians at Glenville High School. The teachers were there, and the principal, Mrs. Bell, was there, all standing for Christ. So every time you go somewhere, you're encountering Jesus Christ, amen? But we realize that it is not easy to be a Christian at all times and all places, amen? It's not easy to do this busy work of being a Christian that we do. And saints, in the Bible, we read from our Old Testament, Jeremiah. Jeremiah shows us a lot, and we're going to be talking about Jeremiah a lot in this message, because Jeremiah was a person, a student, who also struggled with showing his faith. You see, Jeremiah was a young person when Jeremiah met God. He was a student, just like all of you. He was still learning. He was young. He was just living his life. He was just hanging out. We do know from the Bible that Jeremiah did go to church. His father was a priest named Hilkiah, and so we knew he went to church. But guess what, saints? We didn't know how he felt about church. We don't know how a lot of our young people feel about church some days. Some of them love coming to church, love praising God. Some of them just come in the building because they think their parents made them be here. Some of them we don't even know. They're just here. But just like you all, we don't know why Jeremiah went to church, but he was there. And Jeremiah was sitting one day here in church just like you are sitting right now. And Jeremiah was this young student. He didn't really have any particular thoughts or feelings about anything. He was just at church just like you are right now. Then all of a sudden, while Jeremiah is sitting there in church, Jeremiah realized God is speaking to him. Read this with me. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying." So that means Jeremiah clearly heard the Lord's voice. Read this next part with me. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Can you imagine Jeremiah sitting there just like you're sitting there thinking, who is talking to me? Where is that voice coming from? He probably was looking all over, looking at the people like, is that you talking? Are you playing a joke? Jeremiah probably could not believe that God was speaking to him. He probably was even thinking, you know, God doesn't speak to young people. He only speaks to them old folks over there. He's not speaking to me. But Jeremiah realized that God was speaking to him. And not only was God speaking to him, God is telling him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Check that out. That means before God even placed Jeremiah in his mother's belly, before anybody ever kissed or said, "I do," or "I love you," or any of that happened, God said, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were made, I knew you. Isn't that amazing, saints? You see, young people, you're going to go to school and they're going to start telling you about that theory of evolution. And they're going to start telling you, oh, this is how you were created. You came from monkeys. All kind of other crazy stuff like that. But that is not the truth. There's a key word in that says theory. It's an idea. And it's an idea with a whole bunch of holes in it, and it's a whole bunch of false in it, and it's not true because God created us, all of us. And he said, before I even put you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Then God goes on to say to Jeremiah, and look at this next part of the scripture with me. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Now, I know Jeremiah has to be sitting there thinking, okay, God is talking to me. Now he's saying, consa who? What? Consa what? What did you say? What does consecrated mean? Well, God was telling Jeremiah that before you were even in your mother's womb, before you were born, I placed a special blessing, a sign upon you. I marked you as mine. You are my child. You might not see the marking, but you are mine. That's kind of deep to think about. You see, you all think you're your mama and your daddy's child. You think your father is the man that's here on earth, or your mother is the mother that's here on earth. But saints, your real parent is up in heaven. Your real parent you can't see right now, but is here, present. So I know Jeremiah is probably sitting there thinking, but I'm only a kid. And God is speaking to me. And that this God has just told me that he knew me before he created me. And that God put me in my mother's belly. And that God placed a special mark on me that said I was his child. Wow. Jeremiah must have been flipping out. Then God tells Jeremiah, he didn't stop there. He goes on and he says, read this with me. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Okay. So Jeremiah's probably saying, you appointed me to be a prophet? I don't want to be no prophet. I was going to grow up to be a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or a judge or a teacher, but I really don't want to be that prophet, God. You know, every one of us, when we have throughout our lives, have been asked the question, what are you going to be when you grow up? And we start going through this list about we're going to be the doctor, the nurse, the lawyer. We're going to be everything under the sun because we're good at having a natural vision for our lives. We're good at knowing what we want to sleep in, our house, our cars, what kind of money we want to make. We're good at those things. But saints, I want you to ask yourself the question, what does God want me to do with my life? Develop a spiritual vision for your life. So Jesus was, God was telling Jeremiah, I want you to be a prophet. Then he says to him, I want you to go to the nations. Jeremiah was probably thinking, okay, I'm good. I can travel. I don't mind going. You're going to send me to Canada or Mexico or France? Anybody want to travel today? And God has said, no, this is not a fun vacation trip. I have a job for you to do. I have a job for you to do. And Jeremiah must have been sitting there thinking, no, you can choose one of those pastors. You can get Pastor Kelly or Pastor Rick, Pastor Toby. Those lay pastors are real good. You can get an elder or a deacon. Anybody else but me. You can choose somebody else. And oftentimes young people feel that way. You think that because you're not old enough that God has not chosen you. But let me show you how similar your life is to Jeremiah. How similar you are to Jeremiah. And in school, you always get a check.